The new film, The Imitation Game, has only opened in New York and L.A., but it's already generating talk of Oscar nominations. It's based on a true story and stars Benedict Cumberbatch as British mathematician Alan Turing. During World War II, he was recruited to work at Bletchley Park, that's Britain's code-breaking center. He and an elite team were tasked with breaking the code generated by the Nazis' Enigma machine.
I like solving problems, Commander. And Enigma is the most difficult problem in the world.
No, Enigma isn't difficult, it's impossible. The Americans, the Russians, the French, the Germans, everyone thinks Enigma is unbreakable.
Good. Let me try, and we'll know for sure, won't we?
In the end, the breaking of Enigma is estimated to have saved 14 million lives. But Alan Turing was also gay, and because of that, was prosecuted by British authorities after the war. He committed suicide in 1954 at the age of 41. Nora Grossman and Ido Ostrowski are the producers who brought The Imitation Game to life, along with screenwriter and executive producer Graham Moore. And Nora Grossman joins us in the studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, this is an incredible story. First, tell us how you found it, how you discovered this story.
Sure. It was the fall of 2009, and my now producing partner, Ido Ostrowski, and I were in between jobs. We both came from television, and a mutual friend said, hey, you guys should hang out. Since you're both unemployed, you can look for jobs together. So we go to coffee shops and look for jobs and pitch movie ideas, and we happen to see the Prime Minister apologize for the treatment of Alan Turing during World War II. And admittedly, we didn't know who Alan Turing was, and we were curious as to why there was such a belated apology. So we did some research, and we sort of found the biography and found out the rights were available. So I flew to London. I met with the biographer, Andrew Hodges, and his agent, and sort of convinced him that Ido and I, who had no credits, were the perfect people to shepherd the story. So we optioned this book for very little money. But since we both came from TV, we weren't that knowledgeable about the feature space, so didn't really know what to do. And that is when we met Graham Moore. I was having a party at my house and said I had optioned this book and sort of was doing the song and dance you do when you don't have a job and you don't want people to feel sorry for you. And Graham overheard me and, you know, was really excited about Turing's story and wanted to tell it.
And this is your first film.
Yeah.
How does it feel to have Oscar buzz already around your first film?
It's exciting. But also right now, I think we're just focused on the release and getting people to see the movie. And if that just means more people are learning about Alan Turing and, you know, we're spreading his legacy, I think that's the goal right now.
Well, tell us a little bit about him, because his story is so fascinating right from the very beginning all the way through the tragic ending. Tell us what really stuck out to you about Alan Turing.
I think for us, it was sort of the unsung hero that didn't get his time, his due. And, you know, the fact that he was the man behind breaking the Enigma code and the fact that the government persecuted him and he died so young, and today, you know, is still considered the father of computer theory. And to think about all the achievements he could have made had he lived longer.
How accurate are the details of what was going on inside of Bletchley Park, the code-breaking center? We see in the film what the computer looks like and what
right.
they were doing, but how do we know what was really going on in there?
It was documented in a lot of biographies, and then so during the war, unfortunately, everything was classified. So after the 70s, people started to learn more about what happened actually during that time. So we were able to, you know, everything was burned, as is in the movie. So it's very hard to get information. But the machine that we show in the movie is actually totally built exactly as it is.
Hmm.
The only thing we did differently, just to make it more visually entertaining, was to take it out of a box. So right now it would just be in a box, but we created the red wires to make it feel sort of the veins and the life of Christopher.
Christopher, the name of the computer.
Yeah. Exactly. And then in terms of Bletchley, all those codebreakers are real codebreakers, were really there. A few of the characters are sort of like a combination of other characters that were there. Hugh Alexander was a real person, was the head of the code-breaking department, but then also Gordon Welshman is also credited with having helped Turing with the diagonal board and solving the code.
And one thing that we know to be true is that after the code was broken, they did have to decide what information to use and what information not to use so that the Nazis would not know that they had broken the code. My grandparents lived in Coventry in England, and that was a city that was blitzed. And there's still a conspiracy theory that says the British knew that that was going to happen and they didn't do anything to stop it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's documentation after the war that the German government still said, oh, no one was ever able to break this code. And it was kept a secret for another 30 years after the fact. So
we're speaking with Nora Grossman, producer of The Imitation Game, and you're listening to Here and Now. And Nora Grossman, you have in this film, obviously, an incredible actor playing Alan Turing, Benedict Cumberbatch. Let's listen to another scene from the film. This takes place after the war when Alan Turing is being interrogated by a police officer who suspects that he's a Russian spy.
This big paper you wrote, what's it called?
The Imitation Game.
Right, that's what it's about.
Would you like to play?
Play?
It's a game, a test of sorts, for determining whether something is a machine or a human being.
And one of the things, of course, that makes this character so complicated and the story so tragic is that Alan Turing was gay, and that was illegal at the time. How did you decide on Benedict Cumberbatch to play Alan Turing?
Sure. So when the project had a small detour at a studio before we found a home at Black Bear Pictures and did it end fully independently. But Morton Tilden, our director, when he came on board, when he first read the script, said the entire time he was imagining Sherlock and Benedict Cumberbatch. And so fortunately, when we were at the studio, Ito and I got to meet with Benedict and had a general with him, and we knew he had read the script. So when our director said, this is the number one guy, this is who I want to do it, it was just a matter of getting them together. And we always joke about how Morton went in trying to convince Benedict to do the role, and Benedict went in trying to convince Morton to hire him to do the role. And so they had a Skype total love fest, and it worked out.
You know, one of the odd things about this interview that we're doing right now is that usually at the end of something like this, I can say, and it's showing in theaters all over the country. But in this case, it's been released in New York and Los Angeles. It's going to be released in some more cities, but it's not doing a wide release until Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think it's a smaller film and an important film. And I think the smaller word of mouth release is better. So you start in New York, LA, build some word of mouth, people get excited, you hear good things, and then people discover the movie versus just going wide immediately.
And some people would say that the point of this is that the Weinstein Company, which is behind this film, this is the best way to get Oscar buzz, which you're already getting.
Which is really fantastic. But they know what they're doing, and they've done this release strategy in the past. And so it's fully in their hands, and we trust them.
What is it like to be a woman in Hollywood gathering this amount of attention? We know that Hollywood throughout history has at times been an old boys club.
Yeah, it's fun. I am learning. I am one of the very few female, you know, producers out there right now. But it's also fun because when you find someone else, you kind of have like a little group to stick together. But it's me, Ito, and Teddy as the producers, and mostly boys. But everyone's really accepting and fun and supportive. So I've had a good time.
So are you already thinking of an Oscar speech, or what do you?
Oh my God, no way! No, I am very grateful that people are saying that, but I think right now we just want people to go see the movie and learn about Alan Turing. But that would obviously be some icing on the cake.
Exactly. Nora Grossman is the producer of The Imitation Game, which is set for wide release on Christmas Day. It's in select cities now. Nora Grossman, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.